Roses are red, violets are blue, trim your balls, and your date will thank us too. What's up, fellas? Valentine's Day is knocking, and Manscaped is the remedy for what the love doctor ordered. His prescription? The all-new Performance Package 5.0 Ultra, designed to elevate your grooming game and shine like the heartthrob you are. Join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com to snag 20% off plus free shipping with our new code SHOW20. So, let's talk about the hero of Valentine's Day, shall we? The Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. This electric trimmer features skin-safe technology guarding your V-Day treasure against any grooming mishaps. It also comes with their brightest LED spotlight yet. It's brighter than your best romantic smile. Perfect for precise grooming, even in the trickiest spots. Oh yeah, and it's waterproof as well, so that makes shower shaving an absolute breeze. But you know what? That's not everything the Love Doctor ordered. This package also features the Weed Whacker 2.0 nose hair trimmer, Manscaped's liquid formulations, and two free goodies, the shed travel bag and the boxers 2.0, because comfort is king for all my dogs. And for a happy ending, there's the Manscaped refined cologne. It's the Valentine's Day touch to your grooming routine. Elevate your grooming routine and set the stage for a romantically smooth celebration. And for all my bearded kings out there, Manscaped brings you the Beard Hedger Pro Kit, designed to shape your scruff effortlessly. It sculpts cheek lines and maintains beard styles, giving you that suave look for your romantic moments. Seamlessly handling even thicker beards, it's the perfect tool for a polished, date-ready appearance. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SHOW20. That's SHOW20 at manscaped.com. 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code SHOW20 because your grooming game upgrade awaits, ready to charm your Valentine's dates. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the FM show. I am, of course, your host, Tony Jameson. And on this week's episode, the band are back together. We've had 4 weeks where it's been myself chatting to some of the FM creator community. If you haven't seen those episodes, please do go back and check them out. But today, we welcome the return of RDF Tactics and producer Steve. Fellas, how are we?
Well, we are as well as... Well, I keep still doing the same thing. Still there.
That's still there. 4 weeks off, still the same. Still the same.
That's still there. Yeah, I'm doing as well as can do, to be honest. Obviously, I had a little difficult time. And I've been away from Football Manager recently, getting back to it. So what I used to do is, for many years now, whenever I'm having a little difficult time, I would go to Football Manager, open it up, and that just makes everything feel better. You're in a different world. I tried that this time, but I just kept losing in the game. And I even started going, like, I typed in rdftactics.com. I went to my own website, downloaded my own tactics just to plug it in, just to throw it in. And obviously, sometimes it's like, it's not the way you play the game. So it's like, I'm not really enjoying it that way as well. So yeah, I tried to use Football Manager, just kept losing, which I think, I wouldn't say made me a better player, but I started to understand a little other things a little bit more. So now when I'm doing my tactic recreation videos, I'm like, I should use this role and I should use this because that's what will happen on a match engine. I think during that time, because I was losing, you kind of get to see why you were losing a lot as well. So that's what's been going on with me recently.
I mean, it's like we've had these conversations before, like with various people, like in various guys and stuff. And I think Miles even touched upon it during the pandemic, that people were using FM as an escapism from obviously things that are happening in the real world. And I've spoken about it previously in the stand-up show and stuff as well. And it's like, you're right, it can be a great distraction from real life. But if you load it up and FM decides to throw you an absolute kick in the you-know-wheres, then that's not going to help at all, is it? You're already in a very delicate position and then you're constantly losing and losing and losing. It's almost like they're in on it as well at that point.
And, yeah.
Mate.
And I finally get to understood as well when people like to other streamers that, like, oh, you got me through a tough time, blah, 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 blah. Mm. Like, that was one time that, like, I finally... Obviously, with the baby loss, as you start watching other streamers and that, I was like, wow, I kind of understand it now as well. And there's a few streamers just that I just kept watching and you start falling into that timetable. So that's what I was talking about. I was going through a difficult time, so I was in bed, but I had like I had a schedule. So I was like, this stream is on this time, this stream is on that time. And that's kind of how my days went. So I was like, streamers did help me a lot as well. And of course, seeing them win or lose, not to be that guy, but seeing other people lose sometimes is like... and their chat is getting on them as well. It's just like, sometimes it's a fun play. If that person can take it, obviously. If it starts to annoy them, you kind of start feeling sorry for them. But initially, it is kind of a fun ride seeing people lose.
Oh, it's fun seeing them lose, but I bet they're not the other streamers who are sat downloading their own tactics though and plugging it back in.
I tried that, but that even that was just like, oh, okay, I'm not enjoying it that way.
So Steve, have you ever heard of such blaspheme?
I'm enjoying the honesty, actually. It's like, even Aaron, great.
It's like the FM confessional is open for the actual members of the podcast.
The co-host of the podcast.
That is definitely
well.
A confessional.
Yeah, that one. Give me that laugh again, that little evil grit, giggle. I loved it.
It's, the thing is, it's half evil but half muttly from
oh my god,
which is a reference that only some of our listeners and viewers will get, and I'm not going to give any more context to that. Go and Google muttly and try it.
Oh my god.
Try and get that. Kids. But we should say as well, by the way, on a very, very serious note, if, of course, anyone is struggling, then please do reach out to any professionals. We'll put some links in the description below because, of course, mental health is incredibly important and is the forefront of a lot of our minds. We've been very open with regards to mental health. Obviously, I've been in therapy for a while as well. Talk about it very openly. So, Aaron, of course, we understand that you've been having a tough time and we know people will struggle as well. So links in the description below for professional help of all shapes and sizes. Steve, to move on to yourself, how's life been treating yourself? Obviously, you're in the new gaff now.
Yes. So both, obviously, immense solidarity and commiserations to you, Aaron. I think it's also incredibly brave to have like publicly spoken about it too, because it's, we're friends, etc. Even having those conversations about the things that you've been through are difficult, but then to put it out on a public forum as well is another level of sort of courage and bravery. So, kudos to you for that. And as you say, I mean, and Tony, to your point too, as someone who's also got professional help myself, I regularly speak to a therapist as well, and I could not recommend it enough, highly enough. It is genuinely positively life-changing, and I only talk about Football Manager a very small amount of the time, so there we go.
I go to my therapist for tactical advice.
I'm not the therapist, by the way, people.
No.
RDF therapy, is that your new website?
It's a side hustle. And yes, so into the new house, and that's going marvellously. And also, it's kind of, in FM, this tricky thing is, especially considering what Aaron's just said about being on his losing streak, not being able to get out of it, etc. New season as the reigning champions of new Scudetto, my fifth Scudetto in this Fiorentina save. Mm-hmm. And I've won 13 out of my first 14 games.
Ooh. Okay.
So I'm both kind of like, I currently can't relate at all, Aaron, because I'm...
I know.
And there's been a few situations where like I've gone behind, etc., and I turned it around and thought, this is when it ends.
Yeah.
So it's both great and we're flying, but I'm also a bit like, don't want to change anything. What's making this work? Yeah. Why... If, when's it going to end? You sort of end up when you're on a
certain... Yeah, this is where the overthinking comes in.
Is it a bit like when you're on the last week of your holiday and you're going, oh, we're going to have to start packing, and you don't enjoy the last week of your holiday because you're thinking about going home? Like, is that where you're at this point?
Partly, but also because obviously I have experienced the sort of Arsene Wenger invincible season, I think a lot of Arsenal fans are weirdly warped and obsessed by this notion of unbeaten run, because it wasn't just the 49 games, I should say, unbeaten across the Premier League. Before that, there were runs of like 27, etc. There were a couple. I was actually at Goodison Park when Wayne Rooney scored that famous goal, his debut goal for Everton. Remember the name, all that sort of stuff. Because not only was it that moment, and my dad is an Everton fan, love the fact that I chose Arsenal. And on this one occasion, you know, the Gladys Street was going crazy. But that ended. Arsenal had a 27-game unbeaten run at that point. So they were putting together these runs before the 49 happened. So I think I am a bit obsessed with them in a way that other fans of other clubs may or not be.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. I start counting from five.
I celebrate when I get to five. Like, I'm just it's going to end anymore, but it's going to end. Don't panic.
But this is, and it kind of, I don't know. So it sort of does, I don't know whether it ruins the fun of it or whatever, but, you know, I'm just like, now it's just like, I remember the players during the Invincible run talking about, you know, Martin Keown speaking about, like, I would chew my food X number of times. Like, I'm doing that thing of like, right. For example, one of the things I've been doing is starting the game on a 4-2-3-1 control possession for the first half hour or so to sort of like keep, you know, we'll get into game management very shortly, but to kind of, especially away game, you know, take the time out of the crowd, dominate the game, dominate possession. And then around 30 minutes, I've started to switch to Aaron's suggested vertical tick attacker with the diamond midfield just to kind of go at them, etc. Because, and at this point, I'm doing it because it's worked for the past X number of games, kind of regardless of context. Yeah. And so it's that habit thing. I'm, you know, so something's going to break the spell eventually, but I'm also having a great time. Like,
it sounds a little bit like you're almost teetering into FM superstition here, Steve. And like, I've touched upon that in a couple of episodes while everyone's been away. And it is something I think that we will discuss on the podcast going forward, because we've had people commenting back and forth about, hey, it's not just, I thought I was alone with the idea of stuff that I do, but it turns out that FM superstitions very much a thing.
Right, yeah, he's in the wall, yeah.
But I should also say as well, Steve, I'm about to join you in solidarity as well, because I am absolutely crushing it in Greece. Oh, I'm having a brilliant time. I've mentioned on a couple of previous episodes, but I'll catch you boys up with it as well fully. So I'm now into season 7, okay? And season 6 was a huge season for the club, okay? We've been in the top division for 2 seasons. We just missed out, of course, on the European groupings. Season 6 was kind of a bit of a make or break in the save. More for, like, could I keep people's attention when I wasn't winning anything, really? Like, I was still in for it because, like, let's be honest, this feels like hard work. But we flew out the traps, absolutely flew out the traps, and we finished the season. I'm going to scoot over most of the details, really. We finished the season in 4th, right? And 6th is the European groups. Only 5 teams qualify for Europe. We finished in 4th, 15 points clear of 5th. And 15 points behind 3rd.
How is that possible?
Now, how it's possible is our star striker got himself injured for 8 games just as the playoffs started. There is 8 games in the playoffs. We didn't have a backup striker who was any good. That we were going to challenge for the top 3 anyway, but it finished Olympiakos, AEK, Pauk Salonika, then us, then Panathinaikos came from Norway and managed to sneak into the playoffs on the last day of the season, then got the 5th European spot. Also, which really helps the Build a Nation save, AEK Athens went and won the Europa League that season. They beat Manchester United at Hampden.
Oh, that's delicious.
So the league reps jumped. We're up, it's a 9th now in the coefficients. We got an extra place in Europe. So I'm in the Europa League qualifiers, dropped out of that into the Conference League qualifiers, won that. I'm now in the Conference League. I'm having a great time. I've started season 7. I'm top of the division. We've played 8 games. I haven't lost yet. I haven't lost my games in the Conference League. I'm now no longer the Greece under-19s manager. I'm now the Greece under-21.
Hang on, when were you the Greece?
Oh, this all this has happened, Steve. When you've been away. I took the Greece under 19s job because I figured if I'm building a nation, I need to see what the youth of the nation looks like. So me and Gus Poirier had a bit of a chat, and he's like, "I like the cut of your jib," and I was like, "Yeah, you're right, Gus. Me too." So I took the under 19s job for 4 games. We beat Iceland 8-0. We beat Italy 1-0. We beat Belgium 3-2, and I think we beat someone like Ireland or Slovenia. I can't even remember who I beat. You know, you always get Ireland and Slovenia mixed up, right?
Yeah, like, famously.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
Slovenians love a Guinness. Like, you know, just... their folk music is lovely, right?
Critically sad, painfully sad. You can feel the... generation trauma in it.
There's a thing as well, is there's loads of people claim to be Slovenian as well. If you just go back through the list, I'm a third Slovenian.
Hey now.
Loads of people in America going, "Oh, my great granddad was Slovenian." So I did that, and then the under 21s job came up. So I took that. We lost our first 4 friendly matches, and I was like, "Well, this isn't quite as smart a decision as I thought." But then we got to the under 21 qualifiers. We lost to Norway 2-0. We dominated the match, but it was that sort of game where you're like, you dominate and you know unless you score, you're getting beat, like, because they're gonna have two chances and they're gonna score. Exactly what happened. So we lost that game, but then I just basically looked at the players and went, "Come on, you're making me look like a knobhead out here." And then
what's
they went
the Greek for a knobhead, Tony?
I think it's knobheadius.
Yeah, that's fine.
And,
that's good. Yeah.
And it turns out that they then went and won 3 games on the bounce. So including beating the Italian under 21s. I've got Italy's number with Greece. Right at this very moment, we are on an absolute charge, and without wanting to jinx it, Larissa looking good.
Larissa.
Nice.
Ooh. Yeah. We had a load of English players, and they're Jude Bellingham. the best Bellingham, right, is busy smashing it at Larissa. He's having an incredible time. We've got that that Cade Gordon, who apparently plays for Liverpool. He's in the team now. Kepa's just moved to AEK, so... Obviously, the league rep is improving.
Kepa, the Balaga?
The very same. The very same.
Wow.
So he's in the league.
He's got to be like 39 at that point, though, surely.
Yeah, he's pretty old. He's pretty old.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah.
Callum Hudson-Odoi is at Olympiacos. And as I said previously, 3 of him is my wage budget. So that's the playing field we're on. It's not level.
That's mental. Cool.
But the Crimson Horses are looking fantastic. Playing some great football. That 4-3-3 is looking great. And I've got my first official late developer as well. Obviously, there's the new media description of late developer. Yeah. Everyone thought this was a myth. Nope, I've got one.
What's he looking like?
He looks great. He looks really, really good. And for a late developer, he came in at 24 on a free transfer, and he's looking fantastic at 27, 28 now. And
he's basically meant that we
allowed Bulat to leave, who's like a really good midfielder from Zagreb. We just let him leave on a free. So it's Mvue, the Cameroon midfielder, Mvue and Bellingham just running the midfield. And it's so good. So good. It's going to end up in tears, I know. But at the minute, it's great.
You're close to getting a statue though, Tony, in terms of Larissa being the best. That's best of the rest territory, surely.
It is indeed. It is indeed. So if we can keep that going, obviously there's been a week between recording now and this being released. Who knows what next week's episode will bring? Might be a case of, during the last week, you said things were going well, didn't you, Tony?
I did, yeah.
I wonder partly, Tony, if part of the reason you're doing so well in Greece is because of the excellent array of FN content creators who have been on the show. Still got it. Still got it. No ring rust here. So this is an opportunity to say to Hood Gaming, McKinn's FM, Second Yellow Card, Lolujo, of course, to thank you very much, guys, for keeping Tony company whilst Aaron and I have been away. And as well, ongoing thanks to all of the guests that we've had on our Patreon episodes since we've been putting that sort of weekly bonus content over there for you guys to enjoy. So yes, thank you all.
Thank you, of course, to our brand new Patreons who've joined over the past couple of weeks. Welcome, Wald McConville, Mr. Gameboy, Edward Dale, CCFC underscore ES, and Dilly. Obviously, fantastic to see so many new members becoming part of the Patreon squad. And if you want to become a member of Patreon, then, of course, check out the link in the description below. And as Steve says, there's an exclusive bonus episode every single Monday on Patreon, plus some of the benefits, which I'm sure you'll find about if you go and have a look. But today's episode is a bit of a recap, right? When we were last here, when we were last together, we talked about game management, game state management, what you do in various situations, how I'm going to break it down. When do you press the panic button is how I sort of interpret that. We ran an interpretation of it, yes. And here I am. I've just said I'm doing well and I'm going, but I always panic. The episode that we discussed it on, episode 26, the link is in the description below to go and have a little look at how we did it. Well, I say how we did it. RDF Tactics did it. And it's important that we say that RDF Tactics did it because, Aaron, if I remember correctly, you set us up a game, Ipswich versus Sunderland, I believe it was.
Yes.
And do you want to explain what happened as we played the game out before our very eyes?
Well, we tried to win the game. We tried to set up to win the game and something happened. Yeah.
Something happened.
Woodwork, you know what? I can still blame the woodwork. It's all live for everyone to see. Everyone can go and click on that link and see it as well. I'm blaming the woodwork for that one there. But we did lose the game. Unfortunately, the plan didn't plan out. But today, hopefully it will. Hopefully it will. We've got a different scenario today. And this one should be a little fun.
Yeah, of course, we will say it was the perfect example of if you don't take your chance, you know you're going to lose. We went the goal down, didn't we? We pushed on through everyone trying to get overloads and stuff and then got hit on the break right at the end. Classic Sunderland, really, to be honest. Yeah, we pressed the Sunderland button.
They hit the woodwork and it went in. That's what pained me as well. They hit the woodwork, but it went in.
So we will look during this now. We'll say Aaron's got it on his screen. Aaron's going to play the game through. He's going to be so descriptive. He's going to tell us everything that Steve and I can't see because we're flying a little bit blind on this one. So we're going to talk about things like team instructions. We're going to talk about mentality, shouts, when to use them, substitutions, the kind of tactics that Aaron's using, and also the kind of tactics that the opposition are using. So, Aaron, I'm going to put it all the way over to you. You can explain what's about to happen.
We are in the Bundesliga. That's why I said as well, it should be a little fun because anything can happen in the Bundesliga. I did try and pick one of the craziest leagues out there. We are Borussia Dortmund. We are currently 1-1 at home against FC Cologne. It's in the 68th minute. The formation I will set up is a 4-3-1-2. So I did watch RB Salzburg in real life and I replicated their tactic in the game. And I thought, oh, Dortmund's actually a decent team to use it with because I don't think they've got some great wingers and it's a wingerless tactic. So in goal, we've got the sweeper keeper in goal on defend. Our back four is pretty standard. We've got two fullbacks on support and then in the middle, we've got two ball-playing defenders as well on defend. Our midfield three is a central midfielder on support on the left-hand side. On the right-hand side, we've got a box-to-box, so sort of the energy guy. In between them, we've got Emre Can, the deep-line playmaker. He's going to collect the ball from the centre-backs and sort of dictate play. And this should move into a sort of a diamond as well with Giovanni Reina as the attacking midfielder, the advanced playmaker on the attack. So we've got two playmakers in midfield. We're clearly trying to attract play into the central areas. And what tends to happen a lot as well is the ball goes into the middle and then the fullbacks are free out wide. We can ping it to one of them and then whip it in, try and score a goal. And then lastly, up top, we've got a pressing forward on support, someone that can hold up the ball for the advanced forward on attack on the left-hand side. So the roles, I don't feel, are very risky, overly risky. We've only got two attacking duties, one being the advanced playmaker and the advanced forward. And this is something that we possibly will look to change as well as we push on. For the team instructions, it's very narrow. So the attacking width is very narrow, all the way to the left. The passing directness is shorter, tempo slightly higher. So still, again, we're not maxed out on the risk taking. We are focusing through the middle and running at the defense, looking for through balls as well. We are counter-pressing, but there's no counter-attack. And then out of possession, we are high-pressing. So we are trying to control the game. That's the aim of the tactic. Salzburg are more energy in real life, but I did try and just tone it down a little bit to be more controllive at Dortmund. We've currently got 51% of the ball, so not a lot of the ball at the moment. And then we've had 16 shots to their 4. They've scored one. They scored their very first shot of the game, obviously.
Enough there.
We know what's happening here, don't we?
And then we've only had 5 on target from our 16, so we clearly need to do better in front of goal. So I am looking to change our left side. What do you think I should do? Sorry, before I start going talking about what I will be doing or I should be doing.
Interesting. So it's a real narrow, and in terms of the talent, you've options on the bench, you haven't really got, you can't suddenly introduce your width and go at them in a wider sense then.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can't, so is there a sense of it being quite congested through the middle? So even though you're trying to push through the middle, are you just finding that even though you are getting shots, they're a bit sterile, they're not doing anything?
Yeah, so I was looking at my average positions and we are kind of, I would say we bunch in the middle, but we still can find space. It doesn't seem like we're too close and it's overly congested. It does seem though, I know, that we aren't creating good enough chances. Them are mostly crosses, like I mentioned earlier, but the crosses are sort of rushed. They're not... They're not timed at waiting for good moments. They're just, okay, the ball's out wide, put the ball into the box. And it's either a header, which isn't really a good chance unless he can get it in the 6-yard box right in front of the goal on the plate, or it just gets defended easily, which I think FC Cologne are happy to do at this stage.
What, out of possession, the first thing that occurs to me, I'd be interested to hear what you think as well, Tony, out of possession, where are you putting the guys? Where's your attack? Where are your various lines of pressing and, you know, defence, midfield, and forward line? How far up the pitch out of possession are you?
So we are high pressing, but the defence line isn't high. It's on standard. So it's just... And I'm at the balance mentality as well, which is actually very important, because obviously if I was attacking, the standard, the defence line will be a little bit higher. Even though if it's on standard, it will still be just a tad higher. Of course, the team will move up as one, but it is on balance and then the standard defensive line. So it's... It can be fairly deep, actually. And then with the high press, and I'm using 3 central midfielders and no defensive midfielder, there might be a little bit of a disconnect between the midfield and the defenders when it comes to off the ball. So we might not actually be winning the ball in good areas as well.
Okay. So, interestingly, because my first thought, and this is only because I'm having a lot of success with it at the minute, is love a complete wing-back. Love a complete wing back, and I don't know whether or not, because you're playing narrow, if maybe allowing one of those wing backs or one of those full backs to be a complete wing back on attack and to get up and around, because they're not going to be expecting that, and that's where your width may come from. So I don't know whether that's a possible. Again, it will depend upon possibly the athleticism of your full backs or wing backs. Have they got good dribbling? Have they got good crossing? You're saying there that the crosses are really not firing, so you want to be working the ball in the box. So a complete wing-back attack will get up towards the byline and look to cut the ball back, which would then allow potential for chance creation that way. Maybe as well I'd look for maybe a Mazzala, possibly, again, just kind of drifting out and just pulling players out of position. And that's kind of where I'd be looking at. Really, that would be my first 2 roles I'd maybe consider.
That was initially my first change as well, the central midfielder on support, changing him to a Mazzala. That was obviously, I want kind of keeping him on support, but with a Mazzala, he's going to be more adventurous, of course, with his movement. So that's what I was thinking without having to change too much. I could change my central midfielder into a Mazzala. I have now changed my fullback into a complete wingback as well, because with a fullback, as it reads on support, I'll just go and check. With a support duty, the fullback will support the midfield by providing extra width and will look for crosses and through ball when an opportunity each arises. So it doesn't seem like he's getting towards that byline or even looking to get towards that byline, once he overlaps that midfield, he feels he's in a good position to then cross the ball. So sometimes we are just simply crossing a bit too early.
Because also we got to, we should say as well, in terms of the specific scenario that we're doing here, we are, let's just say, for whatever reason, Dortmund needs to win this game. So I think we should be talking, you know,
we need to win the game.
Making decisions that are high risk, positive, high reward. So that's what I think. So maybe, and actually the staging of this stuff is important. So we're on 68 minutes now. So what I would personally do is make some of the tweaks that you suggested now, give it 10 minutes. And then when we hit 80, as we'll get to in a second, maybe we decide to go even riskier. So let's make a couple of changes now. And then, so decide what those ones are going to be, Aaron. And then we'll sort of play through and see what happens.
So we have changed to a complete wing back and a Mazzala on support. But there is one change that I did want to make as well. And it's only because we did make that complete wing back change. It's on the bench. I've got Sebastian Heller. So this is where we can talk about as well, kind of changing, not completely your style of play, but throwing in someone different. So Sebastian Heller is going to be sort of a target forward. And we don't really have a target in that box. I mentioned about crossing the ball in the box, but we don't necessarily even have the target anyway. We've got Daniel Marlon jumping reaches on 8. And then we have Adeyemi jumping reaches on 10. So that's who was trying to win these headers in the box. So that is one another change that I was thinking about as well. So I did want to bring on Sebastian Heller, and that just kind of gives us more of a direct route. I am going to take off Adeyemi simply because he's on a 6.6 and Daniel Marlon is on a 7. So he looks like he's contributed towards Giovanni Reina's goal. So Sebastian Heller on, and we are going to use a target forward on support.
And is the wing back on attack on the opposite side of the Mazzala, or are they both going to be in the same side?
I've changed them on the same side only because on the right hand side we've got the box to box, which he should be getting further forward. He's got to get further forward on it as well. So at the moment now it's trying to get both centre midfielders to kind of get forward at the right time.
Yeah, cool. Perfect. Should we play? Let's see where we're at. Sort of between 70 and 80 minutes, shall we? And then check.
So
in.
We are going to confirm the changes. Right.
And you've got to call this in your best Clyde Tilsley voice as well, Aaron, if you can. full commentary, please.
So let's go. The clock is ticking. The 70th minute has arrived now. And we are now at the 75th minute. We've got a highlight here. It's FC Cologne on the ball, but our complete wing-back wins the ball back. He plays it into Emre Can. He's going to bring the ball forward. Sabitzer. Lovely movement in the middle here. Emre Can back to Julian Brand. Oh, the wing back and the Mazzala are linking up. Come on, whip the ball in. We've got the target. He's whipped it in. It's Sebastian Heller. It's this guy. I can't believe it. It's crazy. It seems. Oh my God. That's mental. First attack. It is the Mazzala breaking the opposition's defense, giving it to the wing back. He then whips it into the far. Oh my days. That's actually funny. I can't believe that.
Oh my God.
It's a goal.
You're all witnessing the birth of TJTactics.com, right? We're doing it right now, okay? I'm going to start this.
Oh, my God. Okay, now we're in the 85th minute. We need this win. There's no highlights. We're in the 89th
minute.
Is it on
minute. Comprehensive as well? Kicking.
Oh, I've got it on key. But we do have a corner, though.
Okay.
I'm going to change it on extended. We do have a corner, though.
Okay.
Lost 89 minutes.
Sebastian Heller just wraps up the game. I don't believe this. Everyone tomorrow is going to be using a target forward now. We've just completely just aimed for him again on this corner here, near post. He just comes in and just jumps in and wins the header. Wow. Scenes we've got throwing.
All about going all out attack, is it? You can change it with the roles.
This is what, because we did mention that in the last episode as well, and I kind of wanted to actually prove that because it didn't go our way in the last time we did this, and I kind of wanted to prove that you don't necessarily need to change the mentality. I've just got another one. It's the Mazzala. What's going on? So we are on extended, and sometimes when it gets to the end of the match, it kind of just plays out for the final whistle, which I thought was happening. Julian Brand just picks up the ball on the edge of the box, just smashes it, and it's gone around the goal. I feel sorry for Cologne here. They probably felt that they had a good point here, until TJ Tactics turned.
That's why we're champions. That's why we're pushing on. Cologne, get back in your trenches.
Oh, my days. Yeah. Absolute crazy end to this game here.
Wow.
And Cologne, they're just playing with the ball now at the back here. They don't know what's hit them. The Dortmund fans are just going mental on the side there. And yeah, this has got to be the final whistle, surely. Keeper. Right. Keeper's ball day. Yes. Go on, keeper. Hold it. Go on the floor. Roll on the floor. Roll over, keeper. Waste time.
Yeah.
Just, oh my days. I can't believe that's just
happened. I genuinely can't believe that.
Jurgen Klopp has heavy metal football. We've got new metal football. That's what we're doing. We're bringing out the Fred Durst football. That's what we're doing.
That was mental. But it was just, it was like the exact thing, like what you would think would happen, like the Mazzala in that left half space, pulling out wide, complete wing back overlapping towards the byline, like all of that played in and towards the target forward. That was just mental.
And also as well, it wasn't a formation change. It was really subtle, you know, ways.
Very subtle changes.
Like Tony's, you know, suggestions in terms of how you give width, how you get width when you don't have, also when you don't have wide players as well.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly. Yeah, that
have you got players
is,
who are good for Mazzalas? Have you got your fullbacks to do that? That sort of thing. God. Wow.
And just disrupting the other team as well, giving them something different to think about. Like,
you know,
all of a sudden he's getting forward. You're like, oh, hang on, I wasn't expecting him coming over here. Yeah. Now what? And then there's another fella coming in the same position. So you're doubling up on the fullback.
Yeah. And it was the Mazzala and the complete wing back linking up as well. So that was just, that play there was just mental. I can't believe it.
Yeah, you'll be doing that tomorrow.
So just to recap, it was 1-0, 68 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
made those changes, and the game is finished. What?
It's finished 4-1. It was 1-1 in the 68th minute, and the game's ended 4-1. That was the first game of the season as well, by the way. So yeah, we did need to win. It was a must win.
That was the game to win the title, Aaron. Shut up.
I only mentioned it because on the video they can see the league table. But it does say Haller sends Borussia Dortmund top. Oh my days, Haller sends us top, coming on the bench.
But again, in those scenarios, so think about that later into the season, those sorts of changes are going to come on when you've got players who have maybe got 20 games under their belt, 30 games under their belt, their legs are going to be tired as well. So that's the moment you want to be exploiting those opposition players and go, right, they're on, like, look at their fitness as well sometimes. It's not just about the players you've got on the pitch. Yeah. It's looking at the opposition. If you've got a player that's tiring, you might want to target that player. So get into that space.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, even in the 60th minute, our team didn't necessarily seem tired, and that could be possibly down to, again, trying to control. There was like no counter-attack. The press was kind of, it was on more often. It wasn't like completely full. So our intensity bar wasn't actually that high. And then, I don't think our players were that tired, but we did try and make a change as well, because one of our strikers wasn't having a good game.
Yeah.
And we took him off and then brought on the other one.
How did the possession stats, Aaron, change?
Oh, so our possession numbers did actually increase as well. So either our momentum just swung so much they couldn't really do anything, or we somehow kept the ball better because we could possibly find different angles with the complete wing back now getting further forward and the Mazzala. So I am replaying the game now. And for those who can see on the YouTube, can see how wide the Mazzala is. It's quite insane as well.
Mm. And I suppose even just the addition of Haller as well.
Yeah.
A different style of player coming in.
Yeah.
Still two up top. Nothing changes. The shape doesn't change. The formation doesn't really change. But a different style of player creates a different style of problem, doesn't it? And it's like, right, stick a big man on there. And we're not just lobbing balls into his head. He's there for a reason. He's there to disrupt and maybe win the second ball. You know, if he wins the first ball, then we get the second ball opportunity. And
Then
set pieces. Oh, set piece as well.
Yeah, so I am watching the game back, just analysing it, watching the second goal again. And we do, there is a complete, so the Julian Brandt and Mazzala, the two are just completely free. And when I mean completely free, there's literally no one around them. Julian Brandt has the whole time in the world. He just waits for the fullback to close him down. Once he does, then Besbarney's just out on the flank now by himself. Just goes to our byline and whips it in. So that change, they obviously were used to our centre midfielder before, just being in the middle of the pitch before. That's what we had. That was the role before. Just to see him on support and he just plonked in the middle of the pitch. But now we changed to Mazzala and it's like, okay, he's just drifted out to the left and I'm not really supposed to be going out that far to be closing him down.
It's amazing, actually, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't always happen that way, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know, like I say, sometimes you give it an actually. Yeah. Like, if I'm also as someone who would always talk about comprehensive highlights and playing games on them, because then you get to see as well as the stats. You know, you see kind of why in this scenario breaking down through the middle, getting their width, etc. But didn't need it this time, did we though?
Particularly in this match engine as well, with positional play, like if you change a role, it now has much more of an impact on the pitch than in previous versions. Like I'm playing Aaron with an inverted wing back on my in my back four at the minute. I've got an inverted wing back is playing in on the right to come and cover with my anchor. So I'm doubling up as two DMs essentially in that role, which allows another midfielder to run off, and I've got my complete wing back on attack who's bombed out somewhere else. And it's like those all play together nicely in a little sort of like movement pattern, which I suppose there, when you're saying about the complete wing back getting forward, nice little triangles, opens up a bit of space, you use your double playmakers, false runs. Yeah. It's all playing out there in front of us. We've shown Cologne. Give us the title now. So I suppose
I'm definitely playing that second game after this recording.
Stick the save file on the Discord, Aaron. Let's see how people get on with this, shall we?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
We've won the first match 4-1. What are you going to do with it? It's time to say hello to the newest sponsor of the FM show. Everybody, say hello to Full Time Prints. Full Time Prints offer a variety of prints to give football fans the chance to remember their favourite football moments forever. They currently offer a range of goals, team sheets, commentary and league tables. Prints are available in A4 through to A1 and can be bought with or without a frame. It makes the perfect gift for occasions such as Christmas, birthdays, Father's Day, Mother's Day, just because presents. Like, seriously, this is the perfect gift for every football fan. You want to go on the website, browse what they've got. They've got so many things to choose from, whether it's teams, European teams, international teams, moments that happen. And if you can't find something you like, you can even do a custom request. You can create anything you've seen yourself. Maybe you've seen a goal you want to relive. You can have that. Maybe you want to relive the first match you ever attended. Or maybe, if you're a Football Manager fan, you might want to do a custom one just designed for Football Manager that immortalizes your save forever. You can have a print done that has all your trophies, the entirety of the save, the key moments. Maybe you want to relive the Champions League final and have your team sheet and everything on there. You can do that with Full Time Prints. I'm thinking I'll get myself one. I'm going to put it right behind my head in my office, just behind here. And as a little sweetener for you, we've got a little bit of discount to help you out here. So use the code THEFMSHOW. We'll get you 10% off your entire order. Go to fulltimeprints.com. Use the discount code THEFMSHOW. That's 10% off your entire order. And there's free shipping on orders over £50. So go get yourself a full-time print. Immortalize that Football Manager save. Let us know what you've got. Visit fulltimeprints.com. Use the discount code THEFMSHOW, get yourself 10% off, and remember, free shipping on orders over £50. Everybody say hello to Surprise Shirts. Surprise Shirts is a family-run business based in Lincolnshire selling mystery football shirts. A customer purchases a shirt on the Surprise Shirts website, tells them which teams they wouldn't like to receive, and Surprise Shirts sends them a football shirt from any team around the world. But for FM fans, Surprise Shirts have devised the ultimate way to choose your next save. Their FM Mystery Box guarantees a shirt from a club playable in the standard PC version of FM24. Not only can you solve the dilemma of choosing who to manage, you can represent the club with pride as you manage them to glory whilst wearing a piece of their history. FM boxes are just £35.99, a very reasonable price for a new football shirt, but FM Show listeners can save 10% when they use the code FMSHOW at checkout. So just a reminder, there's a text box at checkout to list any teams you'd like Surprise Shirts to exclude from the box, so you won't get any nasty surprises. So spice up your next FM save, support a family business by heading to www.surpriseshirts.co.uk and use the code FMSHOW. That's FMSHOW for 10% off. Yeah, so I guess, okay, we might do some more scenarios with that then, because obviously we're pushing on for a late winner there. Maybe next time we'll do hanging on to a lead, because, you know, that's the one. How do you see a game out? Where do you bring up the dark arts, Steve? Spithousery.
Yeah, and of course, in that sort of scenario, we would have to play against a good team rather than...
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to be throwing any teams under the bus here, but you know what I'm getting at.
We need to play against a team who hasn't won all season and we've won 25 matches in a row. That's the match we want to be playing.
So I will try and set up the scenario where we're obviously under pressure against a good team, and then...
It's almost
really
like cup football, isn't it? It's like a cup semi-final where the underdogs are trying to
beat the
favourites.
Yeah.
That's the sort of scenario we want, isn't it? That's good fun. That's good fun.
Okay. Well, write in and let us know who you'd like us to be in that situation. So
don't say Luton, please. I know someone will want to be. I know someone will, but that on Football Manager, it's a different beast.
Why?
Why would you say that out loud?
Why would you say that out loud?
I don't know. Every time I ask a challenge on my Twitch, that's usually the thing. Like, people just go straight to Luton because obviously the
thing is
that
people can suggest it. We don't have to say yes.
If I could, it would be difficult to set up as well. But it could be fun actually. But
I like that. I like that. It's literally if you're the underdogs, right? Okay,
you are. You're literally the underdogs. Yeah,
these are all scenarios. Also, get in touch with some scenarios you'd like to see. We'll work out which one we might have a look at in due course. Okay. So that's the plan. We'll do that way. We've got a new feature, by the way, as well. Ooh. Something that we've spoken about amongst ourselves and thought maybe there's some scope for an FM sort of variation on a modern classic, Steve. Okay.
Yes, we did tease this 5 weeks ago now. So you guys have been waiting.
I've not come up with any better scenarios in this 5 weeks, but this is
exactly. So it was your idea, Tony. So do you want to describe, and you're going to be the games master here, and Aaron and I are going to be the contestants.
Right.
So do you want to describe what we're doing?
I'll describe it in the most simplistic way possible. It's Would You Rather, but Football Manager.
Cool. Yeah.
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 So we're going to try and think of some scenarios out there. Would you rather have this? Would you rather have this? And because I've not written down a script, I'm stopping myself from freestyling any potential would you rathers, because I can see Steve going, stick to the script, Tony. Stick to the script.
So, crucially, the one bit of the script
that I wrote. There,
are you the scenario?
Right,
how about if you were on a bicycle and you just hit the blah, 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 yeah, et cetera. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Would you rather be on a bicycle with wings?
No.
Right. Scenario one. Okay, here's the would you rathers. You understand how this works, right? Would you rather have a tall wing back who can cross and get forward but can't tackle or head the ball? Or have a short wing back who loves a tackle, can't cross, and is a liability on the attack?
Hang on. Okay. Point about a good would you rather is that these are both bad, right? But in different ways. So
they're meant to be equally bad. Like, you know, like, what would you rather? Be poked in the left eye or the right eye? Like, that sort of would you rather. You're getting an eye poking.
Okay, so a tall wing back who can cross and get forward, but can't tackle, you could understand, but inexplicably also can't head the ball, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Or a short wing back who loves the tackle, can't cross, and is a liability in attack. So is Aaron Wan-Bissaka is that scenario basically, right?
I'm not naming any names at all.
Sorry, that was unbelievable. This some sort of knob end in his bedroom talking about a professional athlete who's got to the top of the game. Sorry.
Yeah, but you know what? Where's his podcast?
That's what it is known that he's incredibly strong as a tackle and a jeweler, but less good in attack. That is a known thing. So anyway.
Yeah.
But crucially, as a wing back, not a full back, a wing back. And if you're no good going forward, that's a problem, Aaron, right?
Oh, Certainly, because they are expecting you to contribute to the attack. That's the whole point of having the wing back there in the first place as well. Now you've kind of just thrown me off here because I had my theory about the player that can't cross the ball. Mm-hmm. And obviously with Football Manager's new role, the inverted fullback, that can play handy. But if he's not a fullback, I can't do that. Oh,
Tricky. Mm-hmm. What are you feeling about those two then? Tall wing back, can't cross. Who can cross, sorry, and is good getting forward, basically can't defend.
Yeah, essentially, you've got someone who's a winger is playing at wing back, or you've got someone who's a defender playing at wing back. I suppose that's pretty much the standard, really.
I think, based on the style that I like to generally try and play with my teams, as a bit of a football snob, to be completely transparent as well, I'm going scenario one. I feel like I want my wing back's going to be in the attacking areas most of the time. And I think that I'll have elite defenders that can just basically cover for, you know, because you're kind of playing almost like playing midfielder there, aren't you, really? You know, it's almost like a sort of extreme example of João Cancelo, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's all meant to be extreme, I guess, with those other attributes we can take on there as well. But yes. Okay,
so well, Steve's going with somewhere in the middle of this game of extremes. That's the
If only there was some way of doing that.
Yeah. So I
would
think
you rather have the thing that you want or things you don't? I don't know. God, what a great game this is.
What I'd rather do is question the premise of the game.
Yeah. Would you rather have a defender who's not very good or a good one? Can I have a good defender, please? Yeah.
So I think I would accept, and I'd probably go in the wider team, like on my left-hand side. Ironically, probably. Can I have both?
No! The whole point is you're not meant to. Because there's got to be a liability. He's either great getting forward and is dreadful when it comes to defensive duties, and also he can't head despite the fact he's massive, which is what we bought him for.
Yeah.
Or he's really short, throws himself in, but he's got any idea about how to get the ball forward or cross or anything like that. Just he'll throw his legs in, and he's probably going to end up getting sent off because he's a little bit of a radgy. Like, you know.
Because the irony is, right, is that, like, depending on what you think about asymmetric formations, just to throw that one out there.
Yeah.
Having option one on say the right hand side and then option two on the left hand side kind of balances each other out if you then go, you know, you focus your attack down the right hand side. But I don't think that's the answer you're looking for, was it?
I mean, no, it's not. there is no right answer here. Literally, yes, there is no right answer. There is two wrong answers.
I think one for me. One for me, Aaron. How about you?
Because I do think I'm Carlo Ancelotti half the time, I've just sat here just thinking of how can I make two sound good
in a back three.
And my thinking is I will have this sort of crazy tactical idea. So he's a right wing back. I don't know why I feel this can only work on the right hand side. Mm-hmm. And when we are attacking, he doesn't attack. What he's going to do, actually, I think I've got a new role here. He's going to be a false ball winner. A false anchor man. So what he's going to do actually is move into the middle as the bottom of the diamond, sort of. So he's going to now move into DM. So from wing back, he's just going to shift into the middle. And then the back line is just now going to swoop into my back four. You with me?
No.
And then the rest are going to attack.
Because what Steve might as well have said is, all right, okay, he's a tall wing back, right? And he can't tackle ahead of the ball. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put him in goal, right? Because he's massive, right? And that's where he's better. You might have a better player, but you need to put your rubbish player in a position. Is he rubbish on the wing back or rubbish?
I'm trying to make that number two sound good. At least with a wing back you can cross, you can sort of just have defenders that can cover for him and sort of thing and just have him up there. But then for the one that can't get forward at all, I can't find any use of him being as a wing back. So he's just going to have to be a false anchor. I'm sorry, I've made up a new role. That's the way it's going to be. That's the way it's going to be.
Okay.
Inverted anchor.
A false anchor. Is that basically the brick you used to throw into the swimming baths at school to rescue?
Ah, the black thing. Yeah.
It's there, but if you wear your pajamas, you can move it. Like,
and then when we're defending, he's back into the wing back five. Yeah.
Okay. We've had 5 weeks to work this game out.
I'm going for number one. I'm sorry, I'm going number one.
Adventure, I think of scenario
two. Yeah, yeah, I'm going number one.
Right, okay. Scenario two in this incredibly well thought out game. What about a midfielder who's full of stamina, but has really bad decision making and technical attributes?
So we're talking like bad in terms of like he can get up and down,
extreme bad.
Or like basically he's a 400 meter runner, but he's never seen a football before.
Literally no point. Like they can get up and down the pitch, but there's literally no point in doing that because they can't do anything in either box.
Like he's passed his audition for Gladiators, right? And he's essentially not even going to get onto Soccer Aid, that sort of thing. Or so you've got Mr. Energy, right? Or a midfielder who could do absolutely everything, but clearly can't last more than 12 minutes. And just like he gets a stitch in the warm up, and like when he's got the mascot out there, he's like going, "I can't do this today, lads."
And it's not a question of like his brain moves quicker so he doesn't have to. It's just
his lung capacity. Like he's got the lung capacity of a 6-year-old boy, that sort of thing. Like, and he's meant to be keeping up with elite level athletes. And he's like, "Oh, not today." Basically, me and five aside, right?
Yeah. Okay. So full of stamina, Mr. or Mrs. Energy, up and down the pitch, like you don't care what. So there's an off the ball role there that they can play. Mm-hmm. But does their bad decision making transfer over to tackling as well?
All of it, so many bad decisions. So like even off the field decisions, they've made really bad financial choices. Like they've chosen the wrong boots. Like they've got golf boots on for some reason, which is really weird.
And yet somehow incredibly fit. Despite this. Yes.
They've just been programmed like a machine. Just all they know is cardiovascular work. But they're just going, "Oh, you know, what about this?" And like, "Oh no, I shouldn't really have that." Like he's probably had a bowl of shreddies or something before he goes out.
Okay, yes.
That'll sit on me really nicely. He's had a roast dinner just before the start.
He's got the energy. Okay. But then this midfielder. See, the thing about option two is that like even if a player is walking after 12 minutes and they've got this amazing ability, you can just get the ball to them wherever they are, and if they can just ping it.
You're thinking of Dimitar Berbatov, aren't you?
Yeah. Hilarious. You know who I genuinely was thinking of? A couple of examples from latter stage career moves for players at Leyton Orient and Cambridge United. I remember, because I grew up in and around East London, so I'd go to watch Leyton Orient quite a lot. And I remember Kevin Lisby joined them tail end of his career. And it was just so, and to be fair, to be clear, he could do 90 minutes. This is not this extreme, but it was so clear when he passed the ball, when he took a touch, etc., that this was like a Premier League level player in terms of that sort of stuff. He just, you know, physically just couldn't get around the pitch as well as he used to, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Ditto Wes Houlihan at Cambridge United when he was there for a spell. Like just unbelievable techers. But you know,
or R9 in his current form in a Champions League final. Like, but playing in midfield. Yes, he can do everything.
Cristiano Ronaldo is what you mean.
No, R9, the proper Ronaldo.
Oh, the original Ronaldo, right.
The original Ronaldo. And you're going to put him in the Champions League final and he's playing midfield for some reason, right? And you go, all right, you're going to keep up with all those young whippersnappers. They're at the height of their powers.
And also, we have to start these players, right? Because the obvious thing is...
They're playing the full 90 minutes. You can't bring them off after 5 minutes and go, he's an idiot, this fella, running all over the place. He's running, he's got his shorts on. Like, what's he doing? Like, you know, this sort of thing. Take him off.
See, again, this is leaning towards my sort of, you know, tactical proclivities, really, in terms of, like, I'd go for the technical lad. Number two. I think. Okay. Yeah.
So I have to go the opposite and now say number one.
Okay.
Just have him. His role is just going to be a false player. He's just going to run. He's just going to run.
So hang on. Yeah. So in this show, you've invented two new rules: false anchor, which is basically not a wing back, and the false player, who is just someone who runs around and gets in the way.
Well, that's the decision making though. Damn. That was the beauty of him. So that's what we're going to use him as. We're going to use him as. What we did in that game, we made a change, the Mazzala, and he's just gonna make a run. We're never gonna pass to him. He's gonna run, take the defender.
Decoy run all the time.
Thank you. Yes, yeah, decoy man. That's the role.
Forrest Gump. When they say, like, your role is run, right? And that's all we do. But what he does in this really, really important match, Mr. or Mrs. Energy runs anywhere they want to go. And they'll maybe see they run and knock your man out for no reason. Like, that's how bad he is at decision making. He's like, oh, I should probably go and tackle him. That's a play on your team.
So that's more likely for sabotage, right? In terms of, you know.
He's a loose cannon.
That's the thing.
But he gets the job done. Like,
what job, though? It sounds like no job. Because even if you've got a player who's strolling around the whole time after 12 minutes, like, at least they can, like I say, long passes, short passes, etc. You can kind of cover that with runners, would be my thinking.
But fitness is so key in football now these days, ain't it? I think a few years ago, I probably would have said, yeah, but now it's like, everyone needs to move, yeah. But
even if you played everyone him like an enganche, even if you played the player as an enganche, and they would, you just got it, you know, it would stick to them. Even then, you feel like off the ball, like their lack of off the ball would just.
It would be like sort of in the NFL, like you could have the greatest quarterback of all time, but they're so immobile that it doesn't matter what they can do in their head and the playbook that they know off by heart. The second that snap, they're getting flattened by the defensive line straight away. Like, it doesn't really matter.
That's
like,
what I was going to say. Yeah, he's just going to get flattened.
Right, go. Right, okay, boom. He's straight down. He's getting sacked, like, every single time. They're going, but he would have been great if he got that ball out of his hands. He'd have been brilliant.
If he didn't have the faults that he clearly had, he'd have been great. Yeah. All right, no, I'm still going for two, man. I'm still going for two. I might be behind the times. I do hear your point, Aaron. It's a far more physical game.
He did, because it's key, because he said midfielder as well, so...
Yeah, I would, you know, whack him in the sort of regista or whatever role and just have fun as either side of them.
See, you've got a sneaky thing here, Steve, because you've remembered you managed in Italy, so you've learned something on this piss.
You're describing a hell of a lot.
You don't need to be moved. You can play 2-42, lad. Don't worry.
You're describing a player I'm about to sign. That's
I mean, you joke. I've also, didn't mention this in the save section, but partly in terms of the way this, trying to keep this winning run going has affected me. I want more security in midfield. So one of the things I did in the off season was sign Conor Gallagher on a free transfer from Chelsea. Now there's a guy of incredible stamina, and some would debate unfairly his on the ball decision making. Some would, but he's given me a solidity in midfield which has been great, and I've not had. So I've massively overcompensated for that. Don't have the budget to sign anyone like first team. So I've signed a 36-year-old Sofyan Amrabat. Currently at Man United, of course, and Ibrahima Sangare, who's 34. So I've kind of literally done what I've just said with number two, in terms of I've just signed a bunch of old strollers who are gonna, like, basically sit in front of my defense and either keep the ball or, you know, cover them. Okay. So number two.
Okay, well, do get in touch with any other suggestions for would you rathers. I think that seems fair. And Steve, that's a nice way of joining us into the correspondence section.
Yes, so obviously 5 weeks gap. Quite a few.
We've caught up. It's fine. Don't worry, we've caught up. People have still been writing in. They've not just went, well, I can't. We have to write to Steve, and Steve's not here. So, like, they have still kept coming in.
They're all letters to Steve, yes. But where do we begin, letters. Jenny?
Well, we can begin on YouTube is where we're going to begin. And this, I actually love this. This was from a James Bland, who said, "Hi, lads. Awesome pod. Biggest compliment I can pay you is I have never listened to a podcast in my life until now." Imagine this was your first ever podcast.
You poor
this
bastard.
Episode specifically. Yeah. Imagine this, trying to get the would you rathers. But welcome, James. And he says, just on the saves, I had an absolute blast in Poland with the extended Polish fourth tier database with a club from Krakow called W Krakow. Vyshester?
Vyshester? If only we had someone who knew someone who's a Polish speaker on the pod.
This one is difficult as well. And the message is not even a cooler way, but oh my God. I just know it's starting with V.
Vyshester. We'll go with Zap Sam, right?
Yeah. I will say Vyshester
Krakow. They have a chairman who makes Ryan Reynolds look tight. They also had a squad packed with players aged 26 plus in their prime. They can add young talent along the way. They also have a fortune to spend from memory, upwards of £2 million to start. Now that is a lot. €2 million, sorry. The owner then continually pumps cash in the fourth tier. Wow. Took them back to back league titles, stable mid table in the second tier. They're playing a really funky yellow and black number. Just wondering if anyone else on the planet has managed them. I can't pronounce it, so that doesn't necessarily mean I haven't managed there before, but I haven't, but it does sounds fun.
That's a great save idea, James. Thank you. Yeah. That's really good. That's exactly what this is so fun about this, isn't it? Because it's like the three of us would not have chosen that team in a month of Sunday. So thank you for getting that in. We have also received messages from one of our Patreons, of which you, of course, are more than welcome to become one of those, on the theme of FM superstitions. So Richard Saville, they say that I thought cursor superstition was just something I had. This is in reference to the episode you did with McKinn's FM, Tony, when this came
that's
up.
Right.
So for me, during the game, the cursor has to be underneath the score in the top left-hand corner of your screen, slightly to the right when at home. The detail of this, and slightly to the left when you're away, which stems back to the old CM days too, which I can see Tony Jameson obviously nodding his head.
100%.
So why is that, Tony?
I said on that episode that even now, like, so when back in the old Chat Manager days, when you had the commentary box across the bottom, which of course you've still got there now, had. And I felt that I had to have my cursor in the two thirds of the way through into that commentary box. And if I didn't, I was clearly going to lose. But, so if the cursor was anywhere else, I was in for a drubbing. And I was like, this must be the situation. And I'm not the only person that thinks this. And then I got loads of other people commenting, going, yeah, you know what, Tony's actually right. That is a thing. So I'm not alone.
I'm sure the commentary thing's changed, right? So it used to be two colours and it used to move like with the procession sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I used to have my cursor, like if I'm getting overwhelmed, I used to like try and push it.
Yes, exactly. Marginal gains, Steve. Marginal gains.
I just try and push them.
I can't have my cursor where it is now because what they've lovingly done is put little pop-ups to give you more information. So now I've got my cursor where it is and I can see more stuff that I don't need to see because I'm too busy going, but if that's in the wrong position, I'm going to lose.
Oh, man. I just realised match momentum was always here. That used to be my thing. I can't believe those days. I used to think like you quite literally have to get your cursor and just push the line a little just to.
Anyway, we've done an episode on superstitions. It's on the feed for McKinn's FM. Go back and listen to that. Aaron, let's crack on the correspondence. Come on.
Yes, well, William, back to YouTube on Daco with Daco FM. First ball, FM22 made a change from FIFA to Football Manager. Good man. After a pal who plays Football Manager told me about Lelujo. Love non-league to legend and try and play my saves the same way. Regularly listen to the FM show pod on my way to work as well. On my way to and from work. My guy. When I saw the episode pop up, I was like a kid at Christmas, of course, with the Lelujo episode. Thank you, Lelujo, once again, for coming in and doing that episode with us.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And it's if you haven't seen that, go and check it out as well. It's brilliant. We've also had a very nice hello from one of our patrons in our Discord. And of course, if you've not joined the Discord, come and join that. The link is in the description below. And this is from Jox. Jox is a Swede closing in on their 40s, saying that throughout the years, Chapman and FM has been a consistent in their lives. Despite, besides my closest kin, there's
despite
nothing.
My closest kin. Yeah. Despite my family trying to stop
despite
me.
Despite my family, I'm still here. Besides my closest kin, there's nothing I've had a relationship with as long as Sports Interactive and their football simulators. A companion whom I would always trust to be there and fall back upon. And you know what, Jocks? 100% agree with you. It's one of the constants, isn't it? It's always going to be there. I found the joy in FM, and particularly in the last couple of versions. Really enjoying FM a lot. Big thanks to Tony, RDF, and Steve for the pod. It might not seem like much, but it's a highlight of my week when the new episodes drop. Thank you very much, Jocks.
That's very cool.
And G Pascal is another Patreon saying, hey, hello. Hi, everyone. I'm Graham from Southport and have just signed up. I am currently carrying on from FM23 save into FM24. Ooh, 20 years into the save, and I cannot bring myself to start a new game.
Wow. No, where he got the inspiration from that.
Meet my friend. But it's a great way of finding out about new features in FM24 while using a team and tactic that I am used to, and that there makes sense. So you don't have to go into FM24 and kind of play this whole game new again. You can literally take your FM23 save into FM24 and you'll just come across some new features, which is sort of a pretty cool way. I wish I had sort of that. I don't have that urge. I can't do that. As soon as FM24 drops, I have to go and play it. But it does sound good just playing FM24 and then coming across new features rather than knowing it's there.
Yeah, but at least some familiarity in a game that has changed a fair amount.
100%, 100%. And yeah, yeah. You don't have to have that. Yeah. You don't have to have that whole new save. Oh, am I going to get into it? Am I not?
You're
like you're there. Like yeah. The save doesn't have to die, Steve, does it? It can live on for as long as it wants.
If it was on FM23. Yes. So another welcome in our welcome session on Discord, as Tony has mentioned. So this is quick like a sloth. says hi, all. I'm Greg. I've been playing CMFM since CM Italia. Now that is a reference.
That's OGs.
That's the 90s OGs expansion that you would have to order in the post from, I was told, by former members of this parish many years ago. They are currently enjoying a journeyman save in Scandinavia. So a confined journeyman save by the sound of things. However, as often happens, as we were just talking about, as we're talking about many times in this pod before, when you feel the love, when you form the bond, journeyman rests. So this is exactly what's happened to Quick Like a Sloth, aka Greg. Formed a bond with his first club, doesn't want to move on. Greg, if you're happy man, stay.
We've all been there. You know what I mean? Family are settled and everyone's happy, just stay. Be completely fine.
So not everyone is happy though, Tony, to stay. Some people do want to move but do not have the option.
We've got an email from Bradley Wright, who is basically asking, where are the headhunters? Now, it starts out, hello, Tony, RDF, and producer Steve. I'm always happy to see a brand new episode pop up in my feed. Thank you, Bradley. You know stroking our egos gets you everywhere. It's the highlight of my commute into the office. There's something every week that helps me. Every little bit helps. Other slogans are available. I have a question about being recruited as a manager. My manager, Francois Rabalier, someone's gone a deep dive on the character here, haven't they? Has been at Wolfsburg for several years now. We've been successful in the Bundesliga and in Europe, lifting the Europa League trophy in 2026 and making the Champions League semi-finals a couple of times. It's 2032 now, and I'm wondering why the larger clubs haven't come calling. I'm not saying I'd necessarily run off to Real Madrid or PSG, but it sure would be nice to see an email from the big club in the inbox. What gives? He says, is there an in-game mechanic that drives headhunters? Thanks again for the show, Brad Wright. Aaron, any thoughts? I've got a couple of thoughts in my head, but any thoughts?
Yeah, I was going to say, because you've been successful in the Bundesliga, which is the top five in Europe, and obviously winning the Europa League, I think possibly now you are already being recognised as one of those clubs that will go and hunt for other managers. There's that.
Oh.
Or you just keep signing your new contract, and that sometimes will put interest off other clubs as well.
Oh, I see.
That could be That's one thing. Also, obviously, it's difficult to say without seeing your game and how you've set it up. But sometimes not loading other leagues and that sort. Well, I'm guessing you have loaded other leagues, so I wouldn't go on and say that, actually, because you said run off to Real Madrid or PSG, so you must have those leagues loaded as well.
You might do, though, because obviously you might have, for, you know, processing power for your computer, right, you might have only just selected one league to play stuff. I definitely, on my old laptop, certainly had that with only having the only having Serie A and being confused as to why I was only being offered the Italian national team job and Lazio in the first season. So I think it's a fair guess.
Yeah. I would also think as well, they just might not think you're available. I think possibly if you apply for those jobs, that might be a different story then. But they might just not even think that you're available and come and hire you.
So we've just spoken about the sort of contract thing. That's one thing to not do. So if you are looking to let that contract run down, ignore them if they say we want to resign you. Okay. Make sure you've got the leagues playable. That's probably quite an important thing.
Yeah, that as well.
Yeah. Is there anything else? Is there anything, like, proactively, if Bradley really wants to, like, just get out of there, is there anything that he could do proactively, do you reckon, to sort of tout his wares, his services around?
I think that, so there is a way of declaring your interest, so you don't have to apply for other jobs, but you could kind of let the game know that you're now looking, or you something could spark your interest, possibly as well. That, I would say, that is possibly your best bet. Just letting other clubs know you're available, yeah.
Interesting.
Which isn't necessarily applying for jobs, but yeah, I think that's one of the best routes, I think.
That could be a fun little section in the show, actually. Let's bear that in mind for future.
I've never did that before, actually.
Right. You know, harking... What's the word I'm trying to think of but not say? Moving your services, offering your services.
Yeah.
Hawking your wares.
Hawking your wares, that's it. I was going to say something rude, but I didn't mean it. So then stop.
Don't worry, I'm here.
So thank you, Bradley, for that. Thank you, everyone, for all your correspondence. And do keep them coming in via our various social media channels, all of which are at the FM Show Pod. For longer correspondence, such as Bradley's email, you can send us an email to thefmshowpod@gmail.com. That is thefmshowpod@gmail.com. And of course, don't forget, you can also join the Discord, a great place to hang out, discuss various FM ideas, ideas for Would You Rather, Tactics Garages, FM Confessionals, all sorts of things. The link for that is in the description below on this page.
And that was episode 31 of the FM Show, hosted by myself, Tony Jameson. My returning co-host was Aaron Falloon, aka RDF Tactics. Our returning producer is producer Steve Hankey. Take care of yourselves. Stay safe. We'll see you all soon.